welcome into this festive edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Shaka Hislop is with us here in the studio. Jan Agafjordtoff and Julien Laurent are also here to join in these celebrations. You may be wondering, well, where are all the decorations?
I was.
Craig Burley was in charge of that. And of course, no surprise there. He couldn't be bothered. Of course, tradition at this time of year to reflect on what we saw happen in 2023. Today, no exception. But we thought we'd get Shaka's power rankings.
What?
Of the top 10 stories that we saw in the calendar year. As is tradition, we'll start with number 10, Shane.
Right.
Do you remember what that was?
VAR.
Right.
Under scrutiny. Listen, I continue to be a huge advocate for VAR and how it can improve the game. But the missteps are just kind of undermining or giving credence to those who've always kind of doubted it. I just feel get a protocol. Stick to it, and less of this kind of trying to figure it out. I don't understand why the domestic leagues have made it so hard to manage when in international tournaments. And yes, I understand it's a shorter format and fewer games in a closer time, but it just seems to be one error after the next, down to even communication, not able to get that right. And that's damaging.
Jules, when you socialise with fans, when you go to games, is VAR hated more now than ever?
Yeah, definitely, Dan. Definitely, everywhere. People see, even the other day, the guy who came and checked the water in the house was saying like, no, I'm not having it anymore. I was keen at the beginning. Everyone, literally everyone, you mentioned VAR too, are just against it. Now, the way it changed the game, even from goal celebration, we've said that at the beginning, to the mistakes that are actually not clarified by VAR. Sometimes VAR makes it worse even. So yeah, it was a tough year for referees in general and for VAR in particular, 2023. And unless they change it drastically, in the way they use it, I think 2024 could be as difficult.
Yeah, you can't put it back in the box now, Jan, but what you need to do is make it much more efficient.
Absolutely, and I think some of the expectations we had, first of all, that we thought it should be 100% fair. I mean, that was a wrong start anyway. We thought that the referees should be stronger, that they should have a more authority on the pitch. I've never seen so many insecure referees ever, because they don't do anything now. They just wait that VAR will kind of correct them anyway. And sometimes you feel that the next step will be a super VAR that will correct clear and obvious mistakes by VAR. So there's so many things that are happening at the moment. But as you were saying, Dan, I'm not sure. There's no chance I would put it back in the box. But we have to find a way, and we have to use all the technology. Like, for example, the offside they have in Champions League. Good. Brilliant. Yeah. Do that. Things like that. I also think that we see now somewhere that we can listen to the discussions. I mean, that would be a bit comic, I think, at the beginning. But I think that will do it healthier as well. But it's been a bad year for VAR.
Yeah, it really has. And it's so frustrating for us when we just want to talk about the football and you end up talking about what the decisions are. So that's number 10. Let's take a look at what Shaka has then at number 9.
I've got the biggest game in English football being the most lopsided of affairs.
Wow.
Liverpool 7, Manchester United.
You hate Manchester United, Shaka.
No. I can hear Manchester City fans screaming at me. How come this is the biggest game? It still is. I think this is the one that everybody still tunes into most. So to have as lopsided a result as that, and then consider that Manchester United finished top four, Liverpool did not, and it was a disappointing season by their standards, to see this, to witness this, that was as big a story as I think we'd seen in the league, certainly in terms of result.
It's the 7, isn't it, Jan, that really sticks a knife in the United fans?
Absolutely. And you can argue that this is the biggest game on earth. And that is in terms of English football, two cities like Liverpool, Manchester, in terms of historic development and all that kind of thing. And 7-0. I mean, you can have a bad game and lose 4 and it still is scandalous. 5 is that to getting embarrassing. 6-0, that is tennis results. 7-0, that is just a catastrophe.
It most certainly is. It's never good when you've got to write 7 in parentheses after the actual number, Jules.
Yeah, and it's funny because I watched it again the other day before the 0-0, the very boring 0-0 that we saw not that long ago. And the first half is actually good from United. They're probably the better team even at halftime, although Liverpool scored just before the break to make it 1-0. But when you watch that first half, you just cannot think that United are going to crumble like they did in the second half. And the second half is just a disaster from start to finish, pretty much, and for Liverpool to score 6 goals in there. But I think the expected goals for Liverpool in that game is 2.35, and they scored 7. They had 2.35 XG the other day when they drew 0-0, which shows you that sometimes you can just, everything you try is just going in. And that afternoon, that second half was just one of those halves where they could have tried anything and it would have ended up in De Gea's goal.
Yeah, it was an incredible result. Incredible match at Anfield. That's, though, at number 9. What's number 8, Shane?
An incredible season in Germany. A season where Dortmund and Bayern just kind of changed places all season long. It came down to the very last day of the season. And what a dramatic final day it was. Bayern Munich had to win. Dortmund, what, they needed a draw just to be tight, to lift the title, and they could not do. They could not finish the job off. But...
Decision day in the Bundesliga. This is the grand finale. Borussia Dortmund hold the aces. However, if the Schwarz-Gelben falter at home against Mainz, Bayern would then have the power to snatch the title.
Can Dortmund push through the open door?
Kingsley Coman, and there's the first statement of the day. And it puts the pressure on Dortmund.
Lars Lechtanen, hang on, hang on. Mainz score the first goal.
Sebo, it's 2, and it's double trouble for Dortmund. Their dreams curling up at the edges before their very eyes. For a second time, and one back, all may not be lost for Dortmund.
Hussein Bazic, penalty to Köln. What a chance for Köln, what a chance for Dortmund. Maybe the biggest moment of this Bundesliga season. It's a goal. Siana is on the pitch now, and Bayern desperately need a goal. Gnabry. Musiala! Have we just witnessed a big moment? Leave it to the young magician.
Heartbreak at the death for Dortmund. Before today, they held all the cards, but those cards torn and tattered with their title dreams.
Bayern are the champions for the 11th year in a row.
What's incredible about that final day, Jan, is that you play the whole season. You know, all those different matches, and it all comes down to the final moments.
Absolutely, and you saw Dortmund there. There was over 80,000 in the stadium, but 100,000 outside the stadium, just waiting for the chance to knock down Bayern Munich for that top of the German Bundesliga. And then this happened. I mean, it's just... You can't believe it. Coming up to this, Bayern have given up the trophy. You know what they did that week? They fired Oliver Kahn. They fired Salihamidzic. Salihamidzic traveled with the team. Kahn stayed home. After the game, Bild Zeitung told them that they were fired, and Salihamidzic went into the dressing room. All the best, boys. Thank you for winning the championship. I'm fired, but let's have a party tonight. Nobody thought they would do it. And then... Dortmund, lack of DNA, lack of winning DNA, couldn't beat Mainz at home, couldn't get the point. And you see this season, they're still having a nightmare for that end of the season coming into this season.
Yeah, it's evident. You know, hangover certainly still goes on for a Dortmund side that will look back and just have so many regrets, not only on that day, but of course in other matches as well, leading up to handing Bayern the title.
Absolutely, and the way Bayern just showing that they do have that. They were fighting, they were firing Nagelsmann, getting him Tuchel. They were out of the cup, out of the Champions League. They could get into a season without a trophy. That is a crisis big time at Bayern. And then somehow Dortmund. I would say so much that I don't think Bayern won it. I think Dortmund won it for them.
Mm. Yeah, it was handed to them, Jules, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, just incredible moment, really, that we will always remember where we were, where we watched it, for the ones who were in the stadium, the ones who were in the other game, for example. And I just don't know, I don't think you can recover. And I know some players have moved on from Dortmund, Jude Bellingham in particular, but Edin Terzic is still there. Most of the players are still there. And I just think he must stay. I mean, I've never experienced it myself, but he must be on your mind, in your head, all the time. It must be a scar that just never heals, really, because can you just imagine? It's there. It's in your own state against Mainz. This is it. It's yours. Now, you can't. Surely you cannot not win it. And yet, you still don't win it.
That, then, our number eight biggest story of 2023, according to Shaka. What's seven?
The Saudi market shake-up. This probably could have been a whole lot higher. This was the biggest story of the summer months. Saudi Arabia comes in and starts splashing cash like nobody expected. You weren't quite sure who was going, how much they were going for, the knock-on effects to the rest of European and world football. And in truth, the reason it's not higher is because it just kind of fizzled after that transfer window closed and it just kind of settled. And now we wait to see what comes again, but I don't think anybody has paid it as much mind as, well, quite clearly, they thought they would, given the spending that was done in Saudi Arabia.
Now, Jules, is this a sign of things to come, or as if you discussed on the Gavin Jules podcast quite a bit this year, that the fact that you have these big stars coming in haven't really affected attendances that much?
No, that's right. And I don't think the league is still very good, to be fair, because I think eventually those superstars, as good as they are, just play at the level that they just need to play to be good and to kind of win matches for their team, if you see what I mean. Because the level of overall of the league is just not good enough, because outside of the superstars, and by the way, there's a quota of players outside of Saudi that you can have, outside of Asia that you can have in your team, you can't just have 11 Cristianos or 11 Benzemas, and the rest are nowhere near as good as the superstars, of course. So that brings the level down, and overall, it hasn't been a very good league so far, and it's just incredible, of course, and we know that PIF are going to keep investing for now. That's what they're saying. I think the summer was very special in the sense that the Saudis and Michael Menalo, who is the kind of sporting director of the Saudi League, all the big agents who clearly saw all the money that was available for them, pretty much they must have contacted every single kind of top tier player in all of the big five leagues. Everybody was at some point asked, would you want to come and play? This is what we can offer. We're not going to go again on the Jordan Henderson £700,000 a week wages, but pretty much all the top players from the top leagues in the top clubs have been contacted just in that summer. And they just got the ones that they could, and maybe without the quotas that I mentioned before, they would have tried to attract even more. It was just an incredible summer.
Ever since that move to Saudi, though, you take a look at it, Mo Salah's been anonymous, Jan.
Yeah, Mo Salah was close. We know that.
You stand by this, Jan. Obviously, you got a lot of stick for it from Liverpool fans, but you said this was very close.
I said that I'm still standing with that, but Salah has stayed in Liverpool, done well for Liverpool, but that was very, very close. But in terms of Liverpool losing Salah at that moment, it seemed that was not possible. But I'm not sure that people want to talk the Saudi League away. I think that we've just seen the start. Now they're going to host the World Cup in 2034. They are here to stay. And mind you, in all dressing rooms around Premier League, they're all talking about Saudi Arabia. And I can see younger players going to Saudi Arabia in the next 1 or 2 years. They are pushing up prices. They are pushing up wages in the Premier League. And for some leagues around Europe, Premier League has been the Saudi League for them. So this is here to stay. And I also think that the latest court ruling now can open things up. We do the cards again. Yes, I see all the statements from the club. We're going to be loyal to FIFA, UEFA, and all that kind of thing. Don't be worried for Saudi teams in the Champions League. Be worried what the Champions League team will be doing in the next 5 years in different leagues around the world.
So that number seven. What have we got at six?
The end of an era in Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo seeking pastures new. Ronaldo himself going to Saudi Arabia. Lionel Messi coming this side of the pond into Miami. And it really kind of signaled so much. One, that both these two are human after all. Given the, 10, 15 years that they'd given to this game, you questioned whether they were human. Father Time caught up with them, so they've moved on. It's left an opportunity for the next rising star, but for two players who have dominated European football, world football, and everything that we discuss about it for the last decade and a half. I guess it had to come to an end, but we move on now.
Jules, I'm not sure if it's because we're based in the States, and I might be completely wrong here, but there's a feeling that there seems to be a lot more positive spin around Messi's move to Inter Miami than Ronaldo's to Saudi Arabia.
Yes, I agree with you, I think. I mean, probably for the nature that we just explained, the summer that the Saudis had and just trying to get all those top players around to try to make their league attractive when MLS was obviously more established already, and it means far more, especially on the American continent, North America and South America as well. Probably that's why. Probably also because, you know, with Messi and Argentina winning the World Cup, everything that followed was just, I mean, 10 times more than anything else, any other player in the world, Cristiano included, but Haaland, Mbappe, all the other stars, Salah, Neymar, everybody else, really. So maybe if Messi had not won the World Cup and had not come as an Inter Miami player, as a World Cup winner, and even then a Ballon d'Or winner after that, maybe it would have been a little bit more level. But I agree with you. Yeah, I think it was more positive. It felt bigger. It felt more. And also because he hit the ground running so quickly and won a title very early. And all of that, I think there was that Messi magic that maybe we didn't see so much for Cristiano in Saudi, although Cristiano has done really well in Saudi, but MLS is a stronger league than Saudi, let's be honest here.
Do you agree, Jan?
Well, first of all, I think we're so lucky to be living in a generation that could see one or two of the greatest players ever played on the earth. But I'm not 100% sure. I think that we are using our American hat on that. Yes, he's done a fantastic impact in Miami, in the MLS, but maybe what Cristiano Ronaldo starting in Saudi Arabia, you can mean and have your opinion of the project as much as you want, but that started maybe one of the big revolutions. We just talked about it, what happened with the Saudis, that a lot of the players going there, yes, they were older players, or at least at the end of their career. But I think that in a longer term, what Cristiano Ronaldo started going to the Saudi League can have a bigger impact on football than Messi had going to the MLS.
We will take a little moment just to collect ourselves. Just a reminder then of the five that we've named so far. VAR, Liverpool 7-0, Germany's title drama. Do you want to explain that again, Chad?
No.
Saudi transfers, Messi and Ronaldo leaving Europe. We will be bringing you the top five at the end of the programme.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. It was quite the debate, wasn't it, as to who was going to win the Ballon d'Or this year. In the end, it was Lionel Messi, who of course gets the standing ovation here. Erling Haaland was someone very much cited by somebody on this panel quite loudly, who felt that they should have won it. Now, could he win the best, meant FIFA's best? Now, this starts after the World Cup all the way through to August the 20th. Erling Haaland, Kylian Mbappe, Lionel Messi are the three nominations. I'll keep this simple, boys. Jules and Jan are still with us. Jan, who was the best player in the calendar year?
Erling Haaland. Definitely.
Are you going to say any more, or is that's just it?
No, you asked for a sharp question, you'll get a sharp answer. I think that what he did, Pep Guardiola, since he left Barcelona, he was desperate to win the Champions League. He couldn't do it in Bayern, he couldn't do it by Manchester City. He's signing Erling Haaland, he's winning the treble, winning the Champions League. You can't just give prizes on merits, although I'm a big, big fan of Lionel Messi. Before you start having a go at me on Twitter, I am a big, big fan of him. But Erling Haaland, for me, just the calendar year, 100% him to win the award.
Yeah, I don't think there's much of an argument to say that Messi should win it for this calendar year. Jan, who do you have? Who do you have?
I agree with Jan. I think you just can't look beyond Erling Haaland for all the goals, for the trophies, of course, for his adaptation to English football straight away, hitting the ground running straight away. Okay, albeit in a City team with Guardiola as a coach, but still, it's just not easy to come over in a team that had been playing for so long with not a number nine. Now they've got the best number nine, maybe, but still a very traditional number nine too. Incredible. And I think Mbappe is not far behind, of course. Harry Kane has an incredible 2023, by the way, in Australian Spurs then, and then obviously a Bayern for the second half of it. But I think it has to be Haaland.
Mr. Hislop?
Yeah, I'm in total.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how you look much further than Erling Haaland. For this award during the calendar year,
yes,
it's got to be Haaland.
OK, we saw a number of big names, of course, hang up their boots and retire this season. Some surprising, some, of course, not. When you take a look at what they achieved, Gareth Bale has gone off into the sunset to play lots of golf. Cesc Fabregas, many thought had retired a long time ago, but no, in fact, he made it official this year. Eden Hazard, of course, one of the big surprises. Joaquin Ozil, David Silva, Theo Walcott and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and of course, Mr. Buffon for you, Shaka. I suppose when you take a look at that list, Jules, Eden Hazard is the one that kind of hits you the hardest because of the way that since that move from Chelsea to Real Madrid, he has just completely bottomed out.
Yeah, you're right. The youngest one as well of the list, by the way, at 32 years old. Those injuries, not only the injuries, of course, but the injuries haven't helped. But then the attitude, his lack of professionalism. And you know how many times I've tried to defend him on the show, especially against Ali. But then there's a point where you say, OK, man, we can't help yourself. We can't help you anymore because you're not helping yourself. And I think it's a real shame for someone so talented, so genius in many ways, to have come to the club of his dream, because he dreamed of playing for Real Madrid. And in the end, that was the biggest nightmare that he will ever have. So it's sad, and others have finished much later, much older. I mean, Chiellini was so close to finishing on such a high note by winning the MLS Cup. But if you look at it, most of them really left and finished without winning anything on their last game, for example. They even have nothing to play on their last game, which, in a way, after those great careers that they all had pretty much, is still a little bit sad.
Buffon for you, Shaq?
But I just want to say about Eden Hazard, and I think the disappointing thing is it's easy to forget how good he was at Chelsea. And while certainly for the short term, you kind of can't get past how disappointing things were at Real Madrid, you hope that's not his legacy. Certainly Chelsea fans would remember him, but the neutral kind of think of the Real Madrid years. I hope that changes in a little bit of time and we go back to remembering exactly how good Eden Hazard was.
Is Buffon one of your greatest ever? I'm trying to remember the conversations we've had.
Yeah, for me, Gigi Buffon's been the best goalkeeper ever. And to see him again admit that he's human and that career has to come to an end, it's a sad day for us in the Goalkeepers Union.
Jan, anyone else you'd like to talk about on the list?
Gareth Bale. You now, when you started to talk about his golf, if you have a look at the career of Gareth Bale, he had a fantastic career. You can say he's one of the best British players ever. When you see what he's done, the goals he's scored, Welsh legend, what he did with Wales as their captain, as their everything. He's the biggest Welsh hero since Tom Jones or Richard Burton. He's up there. He is a great, great legend. So Gareth Bale, I think there will be a time that we will forget about his golf and see what he did for Real Madrid and for his national team.
Meanwhile, not only in the men's game, we saw some big retirements, but of course in the women's game as well. In the US, Megan Rapinoe, Julie Ertz, Ali Krieger as well. Now for a lot more of reflections on their career and their contribution to US soccer, both on and off the pitch, be sure to check out a special edition of Football Americas, which is available on ESPN+.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's head back then to our top 10 stories of 2023. We made it to 6. What's coming at number 5, Shaq?
Harry Kane's long-awaited move for many a year. We'd been discussing Harry Kane, his career at Spurs, whether he needed to move to win silverware, where that move would come about. Linked with Manchester City a couple of seasons ago. Finally, Bayern Munich get the, well, pry him away from Daniel Levy. Not just the kind of amazing feat of doing that, but how he started the season in the Bundesliga, equaling Robert Lewandowski's start so far. He has hit the ground running and some. So there's a lot to discuss about Harry Kane as to what may come. But right now, it's very exciting, everything that he produces.
So exciting, in fact, Jan. He could break Lewandowski's goal-scoring record, which, of course, he just broke from Gerd Müller.
Absolutely. A record you thought that it would never be broken. Lewandowski did it. And now Harry Kane can do it as well. I mean, unbelievable. 21 goals, and there's a lot more to come. And when you see, when you compare with Lewandowski or Gerd Müller, maybe the best goal-getter ever. And now this is, I agree with Shaka, this is a fantastic story, not only for Harry Kane going there, sitting now somewhere with a cigar, looking at his teammates playing football at Christmas, because for the first time he got a little break. But it's also a big thing for the German Bundesliga, but they have, because they have given players away, if they're Dembele, Sancho or Haaland or Bellingham, giving them away, and then get the England captain to their country, to their league,
and one of the best lads around. I mean, he's unbelievable popular in Germany, not only for his goals, but also how he treats and respects other people. A fantastic move for him and his family, and also for Bayern Munich and the Bundesliga.
This sounds a bit patronising, but it's impossible not to be happy for him, isn't it, Jules?
Yeah, completely. And let's not forget that. So 21 goals, Jan said, 5 assists in 15 league games, because obviously Bayern have one game in hand because he didn't play because of the snow against in one of the games. So it's just incredible, the numbers. But most of that he's been on his own in Munich, in a hotel. Okay, it'll be a lovely suite, very expensive. But still, the family was in London. They were looking for a house. So you're on your own here. It's not that the boys know when you move and you change clubs, you need your environment around you to be able to perform well on the pitch. So it can't be easy to be moving, to be on your own, not seeing the kids. He's got 4 children, not seeing his wife, no family there. And he's got his teammates, of course, and Thomas Müller has been very close to him. They play golf together, all of that. That's great, but still, at night, he's on his own. He's on his own there. And yeah, for him to perform so well, so quickly, in a new league, new language that he doesn't speak, knowing no one there, not the referee, nobody else, nothing, it's just even more incredible than just the goals and the assists that we've seen in the performances that you put.
That, of course, one of the big money moves that we saw in the summer, Harry Kane moving to Bayern Munich. Number 4 is also a big money move.
Yeah, and in the same vein, Jude Bellingham going to Real Madrid. I put Jude Bellingham just ahead of Kane simply because Bellingham is a younger player. I don't think anybody expected him to have the start at Real Madrid that he did. And while, yes, you have recognize exactly how good a player he was, and you saw that in first half of the year with his contributions to Borussia Dortmund. Don't make me bumble over that explanation again. But then, while you totally understood Real Madrid spending the money that they did, I certainly thought this was more about the long term, him building into becoming that Real Madrid player. But as we sit, we have a player who certainly started at a quicker goal-scoring rate than Cristiano Ronaldo. Remind everyone that this is an attacking midfielder. I mean, it simply has been phenomenal to witness from somebody this young at a club this big.
And it's unprecedented, isn't it, Jules? You look at the big name, you look at Zidane, Figo, Beckham, Owen, Ronaldo, wherever you want to go in Real Madrid's history, when they brought in big names, nobody has had this impact at such an age, and nobody seems to have embraced this team and become the leader so quickly.
Yeah, incredible again, remarkable. Top La Liga goal scorer right now, best Real Madrid player, best player in Europe, there's no doubt, best player in the world for this first half of the season with Kane. But to do it, like Shaka says, so young, again, different culture, different country, different league, different football, all of that. Kane had been scoring goals all his life, so it was very likely that he would keep scoring at Bayern Munich, of course, maybe not so quickly and so well, but he would have still been successful there. For Bellingham to arrive in Madrid and straight away to want to learn the language, to want to integrate himself, to have also, let's not forget, Carlo Ancelotti changing the system and the formation just for him, just to get the best out of Bellingham, for Carlo to have seen that coming is incredible, and for Jude to have taken it all on board and to have put it on the pitch like that, it's just remarkable. He's just 20 years old. He's 20. It's just, well, what's next then? It's going to just get better and better and better.
Wait, it's going to win the World Cup and the Euros, Jules. Both against France. Jan, what's interesting, Shaka brought it up before, didn't he? Obviously, what happened to Dortmund, Jude Bellingham wasn't involved in that final game because of injury. If he was, would it be a completely different story?
Absolutely, it would have been, because he was one of the central players. Not only he was as a 19-year-old, more or less the captain, and it's amazing the steps he's taking. I was following Dortmund for 2 years, following that Norwegian striker, and you just saw the development, not only on the pitch but outside the pitch. A polite guy doing the right moves for his career, going from Birmingham to Dortmund, to go from a good player into a great player, get the chance there to establish himself, and England. Wow, they got a 20-year-old that will probably get 150 caps. He will be a captain there for 12, 13 years. So, I mean, this is what he's doing at the moment. Did we expect it? We expected him doing well, but we didn't expect him to go all the way. We have to be that honest. So quick.
Let's go to our top three then. Jude Bellingham is fourth. What comes in at three, Shaka? Stories of the year.
Team titles for the top three. Napoli winning their first Serie A title in 33 years since Diego Maradona. This was a huge story, especially coming off the back of Juventus' domination. And I know they've waned over the last 4 or 5 years. But Napoli, who'd come so close so many times, to finally bring it home in the aptly named Diego Maradona Stadium, I thought this was an incredible story. And again, just kind of going back to my own days of growing up, enjoying Diego Maradona, recognizing what he represented to this city and to this team, and to wait this long to see these images replicated. It was a huge story for all of football, I feel.
And of course, Jules, what made these celebrations so much more sweeter is that they've been so close on occasions in the past during that dry run, and there was an inevitability. Fans felt that they were going to shoot themselves in the foot again, but this time, obviously, they didn't.
No, they were just too good, so much better than everybody else from day one, really. They had that incredible unbeaten run until the Inter game in January, I think it was. They played the best football. They had the best player in Kvaratskhelia, who was the big surprise revelation of the season, and Osimhen, of course. They were just, Luciano Spalletti did an amazing job with that team that had been, you know, like building, really, like you said, because they came close before. But now this was the pinnacle, really, of this generation, of this team, with this manager on the bench. And it was just the style as well to do it. And to do it, to be the first one to do it after the Maradona team all those years ago, you had almost to do it in style. If they had done it very defensive and not nice style, not nice football, okay, they would have celebrated and taken it, but it would not have felt the same. Now, they were the best team in Europe. They played the best football in Europe with City, really, and they were unlucky in the Champions League to lose out to Milan in the quarterfinals. But yeah, the style, and then when you look at Maradona and everything, that from him to look down on this incredible team, what he meant to the people of Naples, that shirt, the stadium, everything, it was just so fitting. It was perfect.
Yeah, perfect's a good way to describe it, isn't it, Jan?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, I've never played in Naples. I've never played at the ground, but I've been working there. And then we lived at a hotel next to the stadium. And not that I haven't won since the Maradona time. Nothing has changed since the Maradona time. It's exactly the same as it was like 30, 40 years ago, the stadium and everything. And you have cities where they have a football club. In Napoli or Naples, whatever we call the city, They are the football club. I mean, they're so passionate, and we saw that by the celebration. I mean, that must be the best celebration ever. And can you imagine playing in a stadium called Diego Armando Maradona Stadium? Wow, everything fitted the bill.
So Napoli come in at number three. You said 2-1 were trophy winners, Shank. Who's number two?
Number two, Spain. Spain, the Women's World Cup winning team of the summer. First of all, I thought the tournament was an outstanding event, and credit to Australia for the job that they did. Spain started the tour, came into the tournament in controversy, won it, and then had controversy at the end of it. I thought, in footballing terms, Spain were again, outstanding in a tournament that you can say so much of the women in this tournament, how they handled everything before and during the tournament. And then kind of given the patriarchal nature of the game, if not misogynistic, the way the women stood up in full recognizing of their own rights, I thought was empowering for all young, aspiring female footballers out there. This kiss was what started the post-tournament controversy. But again, the way the women rallied around each other, the way they said that we are not standing for this anymore, I think has huge impacts for the women's game and for women's sport.
Jules, of course, you were there.
Yeah, 3.5 weeks, incredible. Shaq said it. I mean, I know watching on television, you had that feeling when we were there, it was even better. Everybody was so on board. The whole of Australia fell in love with a sport that is not really one of their main sports in soccer. And yet it was just like, it was incredible to be there. And obviously that night where Australia beat France in the quarterfinals on that dramatic penalty shootout was even more special to witness it, and how the whole country, and Brisbane especially that night, fell in love with their women's team. It was...
it was really amazing and unbelievable. And Spain were so good. Aitana Bonmati is an incredible player to watch, really. And I really hope that this World Cup means something very special for the development of women's football in general, at grassroots level, at the top level, of course, and that people get all fully on board.
Yeah, I think for the football family, what's going on now is very, very good. I mean, yes, and I agree with the boys, it's a fantastic World Cup, and Spain, as they stood up for themselves, and then that precedent kiss kind of made it why it's so important that we are all standing together on this, helping them to develop. And we see now the crowds. We just saw Tottenham playing Arsenal. Was it 55,000? A great game. I watched that game. Fantastic football game. And the development is good for all of us. And you see also in England now with the Lionesses being so popular, just Earps, the goalkeeper, winning the BBC Personality of the Year and things like that. They're just small things all over the place now, getting the respect they deserve. In times of football, this World Cup was brilliant. We in Norwegian, we were not good, unfortunately. We were there, but we were not good enough. But you just see the development also on the pitch. It's not only the number of crowd, but also on the pitch is rapid. And that is great news for all of us.
So that number two, Shaka, what is the number one story for you of 2023?
Well, I think the men's team that's dominated the game this year, Manchester City winning the treble and then a few days ago adding to that with the Club World Cup, that has been the biggest story. Again, a team that's come so close, certainly to winning the Champions League, but have failed, have stumbled at the final hurdle. This is what Pep Guardiola was brought to Manchester to do, to lift this title. Erling Haaland, the big story, the big addition in the summer to make all that possible. It's hard to deny that 2023 has belonged to Manchester City.
Jan, I'm inclined to go to you next.
Yeah, you could do that. I mean, that was an amazing year for Manchester City. It was an amazing year for Erling Haaland. It's an amazing story as well that you, at the same time, signing an Argentinian, 23 years of age, winning 14 trophies, and a couple of days ago scoring two goals at the Club World Cup. It's just amazing how they did it. And I mean, it's a cliche, but it's quite hard to win a treble. I mean, you have to be not only being constant over the season in terms of the league, but you have to win the final. You have to go to the Champions League final, winning there. Inter worked hard. Remember all those big chances at the end there. But at the end, Rodri, the key man, the guy in the midfield, made a winner. An amazing, amazing effort of Manchester City. And we can say this and that about money and all that kind of thing. This is a fantastic performance to be able to win three titles like Manchester City did.
Jan makes a valid point, doesn't he, Jules? We don't see a team every year winning the treble. It's quite rare.
Yeah, a story made obviously in England because only Manchester United had done it before, and that was a very, very long time ago. It's really rare. You're right. And I think what shows you this is greatness, this is one of the greatest team ever, is because the way they respond when they pushed, when you poke them, when you challenge them. Arsenal pushed them all the way in the league, and yet they put that incredible run in the end and they win the league. Inter Milan pushed them all the way in that final, and me and Jan were there, and yet they respond and they win it. I mean, even United, in a way, in the FA Cup final, a derby, the first ever derby, Manchester derby in a cup final, never easy to approach, you're the big favourite, and yet you still win it. And I think, of course, sometimes you're just the best and you don't need to be pushed to win, and people don't compete with you, really. But I think it's even better, even greater, when you are pushed and you still win three trophies like that. It's incredible.
Let's take a look then and remind you of Shaka's top 10 stories of 2023. Jan, are you in agreement with this order that Shaka's come up with?
Well, when Shaka started with his brain and you kind of compared with the algorithm and he will forget Girona, I think that is a fantastic list from Shaka. He's delivering like his best days on the pitch.
Wow, Shaka. There you are. You didn't drop the ball on this one. Jules,
you can just say I need to use my brain a little bit more. Well, is that basically what he was saying?
There you go. Jules, do you agree with Jan?
Yeah, I mean, always disappointed that PSG don't feature in this. I think they had their place, of course. But I'm kidding. No, I mean, I think it's great. The best power ranking we've seen from Schalke in a very long time. Maybe Sevilla could have sneaked in 10th instead of the VAR for winning again the Europa League. Maybe Barca, four years without winning La Liga to finally winning again. Maybe number 10, but I think it's almost a perfect number 10. So well done, Schalke.
There we are. Lovely job. Thank you very much. Chelsea, really good.
No?
Chelsea could have been there as well, spending $1 billion and still being rubbish.
No.
Not the mumbling. If you want to see a proper year in review show, be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. They will be doing theirs. You can check that out over on the website. Just a reminder, 2024 will be bringing you every single La Liga game live on ESPN+. And what a second half of the season it looks set to be. All eyes will be on Real Madrid against Mallorca, then Girona against Atletico Madrid. They are the big games, no doubt about it, on January the 3rd. Be sure to join us. Of course, before that, games are plenty, as always, during the festive period in the Premier League. You look at tomorrow, Manchester United take on Aston Villa, and then it's Chelsea Palace, Everton against Manchester City. City returning, of course, as a Club World Cup winners. And then Brighton, Spurs, Arsenal, West Ham. What a great day that looks set to be as well. And we will be with you every single day like a bad smell. You can't get rid of us to reflect on all the big stories in the footballing world. That is it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for joining us. Hope you're having a very happy holiday. If you want more of us, and let's face it, who wouldn't want more Jan Arge Fjortoff? Be sure to stay tuned as Extra Time is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Shaka Hislop with us here in the studio. Jan is here, Jules as well. A lot of reflection, of course, as there always is at the end of the year. And that is certainly reflected in our questions here today. Favourite footballing moment of 2023? Oh, wow. Ooh. That's a big one. Goodness me. Jules?
I would go for the semi-final second leg of the Champions League in Milan between Inter and AC Milan. I've never been to San Siro for either Milan or Inter. I've been there when France played Italy. So it was my first time. And I just could not, and I've been warned before. People have said, you will see, this is something else. But I was still blown away by the atmosphere, by the Inter ultras to start with. It was their home game, so there were obviously more of them. But there were still 8,000 of Milan fans on the other curva, on the other side, behind the other goal, and they were so noisy. I mean, the stadium is an old stadium, of course. It was literally shaking, I promise you. And when Lautaro scored and had that celebration in front of the ultra, it was just, the whole night was just incredible. And if you are a football fan and you on your bucket list, you want to come to Europe or go to a European stadium, there's loads who are great, but San Siro really is a special, special place, especially for a derby.
Thank you very much, Gab. Meanwhile, Jan.
Yeah, I could have said San Siro. I went there when Milan played Salzburg. I agree with Jules' great description. But I have to say, and I know that you will say I go Haaland again, but I know a guy called Alfie Haaland. I played with him. Played with him since he was a young kid, standing with him at Etihad when this son of his winning the Premier League, doing the celebration, doing all the interviews. I think that was for me personally the greatest moment that I was a part of.
Yeah, mine was sick. My son went to the final, the Istanbul final, and he's a big Manchester City fan. So that's got to be my favourite footballing moment. Because you see him happy, Shaq.
Oh, because you're so selfless, Dan.
Exactly.
And he had a good shirt, Dan. Your son had a good shirt.
He did have a good shirt because a good friend of mine got him a signed Erling Haaland shirt. Oh, what a lovely man.
You're so selfless.
Hey, he's going to keep that in his back pocket for a while. That's going to come and bite me in the butt one day.
You know who's picking up his dinner tab anytime?
Shaka, I'm concerned because you don't really remember what has happened yesterday, let alone in a calendar year.
As you know, I'm... Caribbean football through and through. And I sit here and criticize a lot and complain a lot. But this summer, and we spoke about the Women's World Cup, how fantastic a tournament that was. Jamaica women found themselves in a group alongside France and Argentina and progressed to the knockout stages. And I thought witnessing a Caribbean team in a group that strong to have that kind of success, it was pride filling. I really enjoyed, and it meant a lot to football in the region. As good as this tournament was for women's football, I think the Jamaica women flew the flag for the game, regardless of gender, and certainly in the Caribbean islands.
What was the game of the year? Oh my God, you should have been prepped for these lot, dear. I mean, right, what was the game of the year? Yeah, Jan's face says it all, Jules as well. Shaka can't remember anything.
Liverpool beat Manchester United 7-0.
That was the game of the year for you?
Yes, that was the game of the year.
Because you don't like Manchester United?
Because I can't remember much else.
Oh, that's fair enough. You take that. Jules, your memory is good.
Yeah, it's good. It's hard, to be fair. I think there were a few, and the Liverpool United that Shaka pick is one of them. For me, the City win against Real Madrid in the second leg at the Etihad in the Champions League semi-final was just... It was just something else, really, that I'd never seen Real Madrid... of my boy Karim the Dream being so dominated doesn't even make justice to how good City were, especially in the first half. It was just wave after wave after wave. It was the best half I've seen live in a stadium of football in a very long time, if not ever. So for me, that City Real Madrid second leg of the Champions League was the game of the season, of the year.
What about you, Jan?
Yeah, if you see that question, it doesn't have to be a positive one. So it's just be the game of the year that I do remember, very decisive. And I will go Scotland playing here in Norway, in Oslo. That was a decider for us. We were 1-0 up. And then for some reason, our national coach thought it was a good idea to take Erling Haaland off. And Scotland turned it around, winning 2-1. I worked for Scottish TV on that game. Steve Clark coming over, the national coach of Scotland. I say, "How pleased were you when they took Erling off?" And he said one thing and his face said something else. You know, very diplomatic. But I will remember that game because it was so decisive for us. Now going into the Euros when every country in Europe is taking part except the Vatican and Norway. So that is my game of the year.
Oh, man. Who wins this year's infamous Muppet of the Year award?
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's just your standard answer, Shaq. Jules?
So I thought hard about this one, and I think, again, there's a few contenders. And it doesn't have to be too negative, because Muppet sounds a little bit... But I think Jose Mourinho, for me, what a year, 2023. I mean, he lost the European final, of course, but all the sending off, the whinging, the complaining, and Mourinho is great at times, the punchlines, we love it, we love interviewing him. He's really, really good at times, but when he's bad, he's really bad. And I think in 2023 especially, I think he was bad. And now Roma... 8th in the table. He's almost begging for the club to give him a new deal because his current deal expires at the end of the season. And I don't think he will be there next season. I don't know where he will go. But yeah, 2023, I felt it was a little bit too much of the bad Jose Mourinho compared to the good Jose Mourinho.
Jan, Muppet of the Year?
For me, Muppet is, for me, the two on the balcony. So the main candidates will be Stephen Nicol and Craig Burley. But I won't
go
there.
Of course, every
year. Yeah, every year. They are the Muppets of the season. No, I won't go there. I will go to the Kahn family, the Oliver Kahn family. Reported that Oliver Kahn will be fired and then made a big, big story in Germany. And obviously they had a go at me, the whole family, including his brother, that will never happen. And when he then was fired, that was made a big interview that me and Lothar Matthäus, yes, I can name drop, that is good for me. Good for me, me and Lothar, we ruined the career of Oliver Kahn. So for me, the brother of Oliver Kahn is a Muppet of the Year.
Brilliant. I love that they've been gathering around for Christmas.
Nice.
Having a go at Jan. Good boy,
Jan. No cards from the family.
Did they ever get in contact with you?
No. They didn't dare to do that. Look how strong I am. I had no chance.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Throw a fish in their face.
Been asking me.
Have you got a Muppet?
Yeah.
Go on.
Todd Bawley.
Nice. Whoa. He was on my list as well, Shaka.
That doesn't need much explanation.
Okay, now what was your favourite non-soccer sporting moment of the year? Look, Europe winning the Ryder Cup? That's got to be good. That's got to be up there.
I'm thinking athletics, so there's only one race that really mattered.
What race was that?
Featuring one of our panellists.
Was that this year? Was the fish?
Well, that was this year.
Was that this year?
It was in January.
Wow.
It was in January.
There you go.
That
filled so many of my days with laughter.
There you go. Perfect. here it comes then, as a special festive treat. We go back to January, and Jan, in this charity race.
He falls started and everything.
Yeah, and now look at the fish. this, of course, we've shown a number of times. Still Shaka. It's at the end where you really did think, is he going to get caught?
Right now, everybody's going, come on, fish!
Come on, fish!
Come on, fish! You got him, fish! Oh, God!
Oh, yes.
Oh, goodness me.
Beautiful. There you go.
Jeez, okay.
Your favourite non-soccer sporting moment of the year, Jules?
So I think I stayed up pretty much all night to watch LeBron James beat Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's most points scored ever in the NBA. I think that was very special back in February for the Lakers against OKC. And in the same way, as you know how much I love my NBA, to see Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets win their first NBA title was very special. And Jokic, very much a genius of his own, certainly in terms of basketball, because he also sees it just as a job, which is something I quite like. I think Jokic is a very special player, so that was a very special moment.
What do you prefer, NBA or soccer, Jules?
Nah, I'm still a football soccer guy, but the NBA is very close. I love it, and there's something nice when the whole house is quiet, everybody's asleep, and you stay up and you watch a game, an NBA game at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. for us here in London. And then next month I go to Paris for a proper NBA game in my hometown, you know, so it's really cool. Wow. Now. I love the NBA.
Very good. For Jules and Jan, I forgot, calm down.
I will say that because I'm not a big golf fan, but I see a great athlete when I see one, Victor Hovland. Yeah. Victor Hovland, not only a great player, but also a fantastic ambassador for Norway, for himself, for his family, for his sport. I'm just a pleasant guy to watch. He's a fantastic ambassador, winning some key tournaments this 2023, so he's mine. Thank you say that.
Who's richer, him or Erling Haaland, Jan?
They will both be behind me, of course, but I think in times will tell. That is a good question. I'm not sure. I haven't asked them.
Can I see your bank account, please? Thank you very much.
How rich are you?
For Jules and Jan, now, Jules has already mentioned this, that horrible game at San Siro. What was your favourite game you watched live in the stadium while doing your press work this calendar year, Jan?
Well, Archie had to go to a wedding in Greece, a big fat Greek wedding. So he had to go there. So I went for ESPN doing Bayern Munich against Leverkusen. First of all, it was a fantastic football game. That was great. But also the way we did that show, we got all the big names, Tuchel, Kane, Alonso, Boniface, they all came to us. Everything worked so good. Everything was live. It was a fantastic football game between the challenger Leverkusen against Bayern Munich. It was just entertaining, and it was a pleasant time to be in Munich working for ESPN.
What's that got to do with a Greek wedding?
Because Archie couldn't do it. Archie, have you heard about Archie, your colleague? He had to go to Greece for a wedding.
Oh, I don't. I missed the Archie bit.
I thought you said you were going.
No, sorry.
There we go,
Archie.
You see.
All right. Archie, sorry. Sorry.
There we go. There you are. Oh, good. Jules, don't take San Siro again. Have a game with some goals. Oh, no, he's not listening. Jules!
No, what did you... Sorry, I didn't know if you were talking to me. Sorry, what did you say?
Yes, yes. Don't say San Siro. Say something more interesting.
Yeah, so, no, I've got another one, to be fair, because Jan mentioned when he watched Erling winning the Premier League. To be fair, the Champions League final was not the greatest of finals, I give you that. But it's always special when you can be at the stadium to watch a Champions League final and to cover it and to be there to see City winning finally the Champions League, to see Pep Guardiola and what he meant to him and to all the fans was very good. And we are so lucky, Jan and I especially, to go to a lot of games. So we should never, really never forget how lucky and privileged we are to be able to see live those moments in a stadium where millions of people are just watching on television. So for me, of all the year, I said San Siro was great, the City, Real Madrid was amazing too, but the Champions League final, because it's the Champions League final, was also very, very special and amazing.
Were you yawning then, Jan?
No. Like, I was thinking.
Oh, what were you thinking? The one game you went to live, let's not mention that.
Yeah, that's...
let's move on from that game. You're not allowed to go to games anymore, that's it.
Oh, boy.
As an engineer, is Shaka going to review his formula for the power rankings? Because the maths isn't maths in.
Yeah, I'm going to have to review that.
Wait, what's maths in?
That's a not adding up.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's how the young people talk now.
So the problem was, like, your power rankings today, your final ones of 2023, had Girona not in the top 10.
That's they failed me.
they failed you.
The algorithm failed me, Dan.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to redo it. That's all.
Should Shaka be nominated for the best performance by a lead actor for his ad at the ESPN FC Awards for 2023? There's so much depth you bring to this role, Shaka. It's quite impressive.
I tell you what.
Look at this.
You don't see many people walking in an airport quite like that.
Put your glasses on.
Look at that. Look at the brow, how it's...
Yes. Oh no. And now...
And then this. Oh.
What, just kicking the ball away?
That was a pass. To the... There was a guy right there! It was an outside right football!
Look at it. Oh, then look at it. Oh, yes.
This is the one. This is the one that sealed the Emmy right there.
Yeah.
Look at how the sun just... Oh,
beautiful.
Good directing, good acting, good everything.
But yeah, just wonderful production values there.
Yep.
What were you doing? Just standing in the seat?
I was thinking about the algorithm.
Oh, really?
But Shaka, I have to ask, where is Pamela Anderson when you have that movement on the beach there? Pamela Anderson.
There we go.
I was all right there, no.
For our younger viewers, don't worry about it.
I'm off that big gruff rat Greg.
That brings us to the end of today's festive special. Thank you very much,
bring some
everyone.
Flowers next time.
Sorry?
Bring some festive flowers.
I'm not
flowers.
In charge of the flowers. You bring them.
You, no, you. It's your show.
No.
Bring festive flowers.
I just merely stitch it all together, Shaq. I think you led the way with your rankings today. Very good. What happened with Dortmund? Till tomorrow. Goodbye.
Oh, God.